Welcome, Pod Numbers. Tyson Banker with you at Bench Clear Media. Really excited to do my NFL rookie report for beginning of the season, and I had to bring on the Kansas City faithful, Patrick Mahomes enthusiast. Anything else you can think about around Chiefs master, Ty? So how's it going, Ty? Great to see you, buddy. How's your Labor Day going?
It's good, man. Yeah, it's good. We're under like fire watches up here right now, as you probably know.
Yeah, I have an alert in the bottom left hand of my screen here that says air quality's low, stay inside. Like we have pretty bad smoke blowing through us right now in Calgary. Kind of we get a lot of that western smoke blow this way, and it just makes everything like overcast, even though it's supposed to be clear. So it definitely is interesting for sure.
Makes me ready for indoor football. Like I need to be sitting down watching some games.
I know, man. It was nice to get a little taste of football this weekend with college kicking off. A lot of big games. Notre Dame played tough against Ohio State. Oregon did not play tough against Georgia. Unfortunately, my team got you know, we can say waxed. Yeah, slaughtered. Yeah, so it wasn't a good showing, but Georgia's pretty dang good everywhere, so it's kind of tough.
So good.
Well, I'm excited for the rookie report. Kind of keeping those checkpoints, keeping those stats for us. Just one thing before we kind of jump into it. Everything is dropping. Everything is lower from Brady to the bottom is lower. So things, I would say, we'll kind of get some big questions at the end. But I would say, I think we're kind of getting to that bottom dollar time potentially, but we'll see what you think about that. All right, let's pull this in here.
By the way, I love this deck. You did a great job with the slide deck. People they don't know what they're in for. This is pretty good stuff you put together here.
Yeah, well, I'm excited about it. It's we got a couple new additions to the rookie report model, so we will get into it. Yeah. All right, so let's just jump into it here. How can we see that? Okay, good, Ty?
Yeah, it looks good.
All right, perfect. So want to get into the 20 to 16 group. So McCaffrey's hanging on there at 20. So what I have here for the chart today, again, this will be podcast form, but this show is primarily meant for YouTube. Do our best to kind of read the numbers so the podcast folks still get a good chunk of data. So McCaffrey is 20, Tyreek Hill's 19, Murray's 18, Julio's still at 17. Part of that's because there hasn't been a sale of his Topps Chrome since our last time. So that's a little bit, I'd say, deceiving, but I had to leave it in there. And then Matt Ryan up to 16. So how we have this kind of measured, I got the card with a 111 value. It's the last time we did this. So right after the Super Bowl time there. In that range, 9.4, which is when I pulled the data, and then the plus minus population and market cap. So as you can see in this list here, Matt Ryan is the only one that gained. Everybody else is down 22, 27, and 40% for Kyler Murray. Who do you like in this list here? Anybody you've been eyeing or Tyreek moving to Miami? Like what interests you with this group?
Yeah, I guess real quick, clarifying. So was there a reason you have values from January to September? Was it just that's the last time we did it? Or did
last time we did it? Yeah, it's just kind of like the previous checkpoint. So you know where it was the last time we had a show.
Yeah, I think it's important to clarify because people are probably thinking, okay, wow, values are up, you know, down 40%. Well, it's down 40% in 8 months.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, big track for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure, I mean, over the season, you'll do it more often. And you'll see smaller jumps, but some of these percentages in this report, I was like, holy crap, are you kidding me?
Right. It's been a while for sure. Also, a lot of pops have increased quite a bit as well. So just kind of keeping all that, you know, supply, market, all those things are combined to make those, I'd say, eye-popping percentages, but they are I would say it hasn't been like that yesterday. You know,
right.
So
yeah. Well, I mean, the first guy that stands out to me, and this is on this five here, is McCaffrey. I mean, the fact that he's 20, he cannot stay on the field. He seems to me as like one of those guys where if he could put together a season, it looks like a really good investment to me.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I mean, the talent's there. Like it's kind of crazy if you think about it of how much the fantasy football community has faith in McCaffrey, because 2 years ago when he got hurt, he was still the number one overall pick the next year in terms of fantasy. Yeah. And then this year he's number two. He's right there with Jonathan Taylor after 2 years in a row of missing substantial time. So he hasn't lost the appeal of his talent. It's just being on the field and actually producing. So there is some upside in it a little bit, and I think some good points I've kind of heard around, you know, this year's rookie class being really weak with quarterback, that other rookie and receivers might get some piece of the pie this year, might actually see some non-QBs have a little more traction. And McCaffrey's definitely a guy, he can go out there and he can have MVP season. So I definitely could see some growth. It's just, that's just a huge risk, huge bet. I'm interested just seeing that Matt Ryan is just kind of decent for like, the, you know, he had a pretty solid career, but just, you could probably say mediocre in terms of, he's not like top 10 or top 20, even for quarterbacks all time, always just been kind of solid, but he is in a good position with the Colts that he could have a nice year. And is that something that could give him a nice little growth this season if the Colts are, you know, 10-6 or 11-5 type thing? So what are your thoughts on Kyler? I think Kyler is always the big question.
Kyler's my number one guy of the year, and I don't want to jump the gun here too much because I know we're gonna profile him in a second, but that's my number one buy of the entire season is Kyler Murray. So like seeing him at 18 is just more kind of reassurance that it's probably a pretty good time to put money into him.
Right. Yeah. I mean, some of his is market cap. He is clearly the biggest market cap of the whole group combined. So that's the population multiplied to what he's going for, if you're not sure what market cap is. So you kind of see that Julio's got the least amount of money into it, so that makes sense. So his price isn't that bad, even if it was 140, which I still don't think it is. McCaffrey, 120K, that's a pretty good market cap for him. So that's where that volatile kind of comes with. So let's kind of jump into Murray in terms of more specifics. I just kind of pulled, okay, dang, those wraps. When you put these in, these wraps always drop that letter.
You're good.
But anyway. These are just some kind of key cards I've sold for him. I stayed away from base to give us a better idea of how his top ends are going. Yeah. What kind of stands out to you about these five sales here? I have a couple things to kind of go through with them, but what do you think?
Well, first off, I love that National Treasures auto. I mean, that's the card I want out of those six right there.
Yeah, that's my buddy in Calgary owns that. Actually, I got that from him. David Peard there, so photo credit, but he... Yeah, I got a good grade on that just a couple months ago. He's pretty pumped.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I guess my takeaway from this is that it just seems cheap. It just seems really cheap to me. Like a Blue Ice 99 PS, these are all PSA 10s, I'm assuming.
Yeah,
they're PSA 10s, right? I'd be a buyer at $1,800 for that.
Right.
Maybe a tad cheaper. So I think it looks really appealing to me, is my initial reaction to that. What's your takeaway?
I just think the inconsistencies. So I agree with you. The Blue Ice is a great deal. That's a non-auto out of 99 for 1800, pop 23. We got an XRC auto out of 49. XRCs are pretty cool cards. The ones that come out the product the year before for 1,000, it's a population of 12. I mean, that's a steal as well, right? So I'm just noticing, like, I'm kind of with you that I think Kyler is a massive buy. In the inconsistency spots, I don't actually think his base card's a massive buy. It's these ones that you can find some really good traction for growth when I'm looking at the data. So that's kind of how I would approach Kyler. And the biggest thing with Kyler is a full season's work and actually coming through in the playoffs. His next step is, can you do we need some November, December Kyler, because we've seen a lot of grades September and October Kyler for the last 3 years. And he's going to be challenged because he has no Hopkins. His receiver core is really banged up. He doesn't have a lot of weapons around him. Connor's kind of consistent. So it's going to be really, I think it could be kind of a slow start, but it was about November, December for me when it comes to him, if we're going to see growth.
Yeah, I totally agree. We have to see him in the playoffs for us to really fall in love with him, for the general public to fall in love with him. But the thing I like about Kyler is something I mentioned in past videos, is like, he just strikes me as a gamer. Like a gamer beyond gamers. Like, and I almost wonder if stripping away some of his like top talent almost just kind of pushes him to the next level, where it's like, all right, I got to use my feet more. I got to just become the guy.
Right.
So maybe it becomes a good thing. But, you know, it's also worth noting too, like, and it's easy to forget this with football cards, but I know it's pop 12 in the XRC, and like, it's, there's only 49 cards, period, of that card. So
yeah,
you got 25% of them as in PSA 10. You have to remind yourself that the hobby still gravitates towards the prisms and the optics and things like Obsidian and XRC and like the obscure products, although they have low pops, doesn't necessarily mean like they should be worth more.
Right.
You know,
that's definitely fair. I feel like Select's kind of a middle ground of that. But I do agree that you want to stay optic and prism. For sure. I think probably my best buy of the list, though, is probably the Red Ice. I think a color match, 600, pop 100. I think that's a really attractive one because I like it a lot more than the laser that's priced the same. So
agreed.
But
yeah, I totally agree with that.
Awesome. All right, let's head into the 15 to 11. So 15 has got Kels hanging on. He's been pretty consistently right in this range since we've been doing this for about 2 years. Derek Carr, definitely want to talk about him a little bit. Cooper Kupp, Joe Burrow, and Justin Herbert. So we kind of got, you know, a little bit of tale of two here. We got the Herbert Burrow, which is going to be a head-to-head value chat we'll get to later. I think those guys are just always going to be compared, being the same class with all that they've done. Yeah, Cooper Kupp, late riser. We knew this kind of big drop from Super Bowl was going to happen. Yeah. Just, you know, he played so well, but he's still a respectable $200 for a receiver with a 422. It's not a terrible population, but I think that's a pretty good price for Cooper Kupp on a one-year blowout season. Derek Carr is one of the only guys that's raised this much. He's up to 160 for his PSA 10 Prism. I know some people do gravitate towards his Topps Chrome more for his rookie. I'm still pulling the Prism right now, trying to stay as consistent as I can. And then Kelce's, I think he's just kind of drop of the market. His is, that's all I see a little bit. 153 versus 210. I think this is kind of a normal hobby drop. I don't think it's anything to do with Kelce because he's a Hall of Famer. So yeah. What are your thoughts on these five here?
Yeah, so I guess point of clarification, people will maybe assume this, but these are Prism base, not Prism Silvers.
Right. Unless they are like Cooper Kupp's has to be, because that's all it is. But yeah.
All right, so this is the one that probably baffled me the most, because out of any of the cards that I've gotten out of chasing cardboard buys the last 3 or 4 months, the card that I probably had the most offers on was a Derek Carr blue auto from a guy that I picked up from in Washington, and I end up selling it for, you know, $600 something. Yeah. I could not believe how much interest I had in Derek Carr. And I look at this list and I think, what am I missing? I've watched this guy play because he's been in the AFC West. I've watched this guy play for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Why are people so excited about him?
I think people forget a little bit about Carr is how well he fits as a Raider. And what I mean by that is he played at Fresno State. So he's from that area. A lot of Raider fans, Raider Nation's down there, even though they're in Vegas now. The Raiders do have a big market in terms of fans. Like they just have had one of the bigger ones for a long time. They're kind of with the Cowboys, I think, in that respect. Yeah. And there, I think Carr, like, still had, when he came in, he had that awesome run where he broke his ankle. And the Raiders were really good. They had a really strong shot that year. And it just seems to the Gruden and all that stuff, it's just kind of all been a wash. And then this year, they got Davante Adams. They almost beat the Bengals in round one last year. I think there's a lot of optimism for what the Raiders can do. That just division is going to be so tough, like, for everybody. So I just don't know if they'll have that same type of success. But I just kind of see him kind of as a full picture of the Raiders. The Raiders are just, they're just in to give him a little bit of value.
Interesting.
So that's kind of my take of why it's kind of gone up. I still think there's a little bit more. I still think I would pick them probably fourth in the West right now, just with what the Broncos have done. But they're, you know, they could win a lot of divisions. They could probably win the NFC East, you know, so it's just like, but that's kind of my feeling with Carr overall. But I still think he has, you know, if they do make a run, if they do something similar last year, I mean, it could even get higher. He has the potential there.
Yeah. Interesting. That makes more sense. And I never really thought of Oakland, or I guess now Vegas, being that type of like crazy hobby fan, but I guess it does make sense.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not a buyer at $160.
Right.
The guy I like on this list is Kelce. It's obviously a McKansas City guy, but I think we'll regret not grabbing a pop 269 Prism. I like his Topps Chrome rookie better, but low pops for arguably a top five tight end, maybe a top three tight end of all time right now.
Yeah. And his is one of the smallest market caps we have for people to consider too. He's Hall of Famer. He's going to be a top. He's getting right in there to Gonzalez. He's probably getting, he might be past Gates by now. He's getting up there for the top two, three tight ends of all time. So I'm definitely with you there. Let's just talk about Burrow a little bit, 'cause we're gonna get to Herbert on the next slide. A lot of, obviously some bad records of teams that lose a Super Bowl their following year. Does he kind of come down to earth this year a bit, or like, kind of what is your feeling on Joe Burrow right now? And let's just say you're an investor. Would you be a seller right now while he's pretty high, or would you be definitely still holding pat for the long term?
I think with Burrow, I'm probably a seller. I'm probably more high on Herbert just with talent and kind of attitude than I am with Burrow. Burrow strikes me as that guy who's talented, obviously, but he's very, he has kind of the wrong type of swagger, in my opinion. He's a very cocky dude, but it doesn't strike me as the type of guy that is it's gonna carry him very far in the league. But I know I'll probably get hate for that comment, but I like the way Herbert carries himself more. I'm starting to gravitate more towards like what are their attitudes and like their personas on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to find guys who are like Brady, who transcend even their skill set with the way they carry themselves. Because those are the guys that last.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess and it's also perception, right? So then my view of Burrow is, yeah, he's kind of got that cocky mentality, but kind of in a fun way. But like what I actually gravitate towards with him is how he interacts with his teammates. Like that's like, I really think he's a great teammate. I think he is kind of transcendent in terms of talent. You know, he's maximized a lot of guys. Like Tyler Boyd's been a really good receiver. Like a lot of guys that are kind of mediocre have been really good with him. Obviously he has Chase now. I just think the Bengals are a bit more fun because the Bengals, they're in a division where the Bengals and Browns have always been terrible. And now they're kind of the best team right now. The Bengals are, in my opinion. So it's kind of interesting to see them take that AFC North kind of title for now. And I think that Burrow likes that. We'll get to Herbert more, but like in terms of Herbert, I think it's interesting too, because a lot of people like him, but his biggest knock coming to the draft was he's too quiet. He wasn't a leader. Like all those kind of things were said just because he was a doer, not a sayer. And like, so there's different ways of leading also, but I'm with you. I mean, Herbert's an Oregon guy. Like I'm a big PC of him. So I'm kind of all in on Herbert. So let's kind of go into him here.
I guess one last comment on that. It's funny that Burrow and Carl are in that same group of five, because I kind of look at Burrow as like a slightly better version of Derek Carr.
Oh,
That's the way I kind of see them on the field, you know, not like electric talent by any means, but just really good in many categories.
Okay. Yeah. I think Burrow's an elite passer. He doesn't have the legs that Herbert has. I think they're very similar in terms of their passing ability, but just Herbert's got him with the legs and that gives him a bit of a bump. But I would say Burrow's got a better cast around him to actually score more, which we'll see how that kind of works out. So here we got Justin Herbert's kind of, I pulled some top six sales of him, some interesting ones here. So we got Prism Silver Auto for $5,000, Optic Hollow for $775, Optic Blue Hyper. I just like those cards; they're really cool. $610. His Prism SP variation black and white for $400. Prism Black Silver, which I brought that on there because you and I have talked about that before, for $500, and his Red Ice for $1,100. So overall, what stands out to you with values here? And if you want to go any further into your, sounds like you're a big buyer in Herbert still. If you want to elaborate on that.
Yeah, I've been trying. When I'm at shows now, I'm trying to find good deals in Herbert's. I grabbed a Silver Auto recently at a show, and it's crazy to me that it's hanging around $5,000. So I love the colored stuff of Herbert. It's funny seeing the population reports, you know, compared to Kyler. Even, you know, this 2 years removed or 2 years difference, you just got a lot more printed in 2020. Yeah. So there's a lot more PSA 10s out there of this, but. Yeah, I'm still a massive fan of going after and getting the Prism Blacks, the Prism Black Silvers. I think those are going to be like a hobby staple for many years now.
Right. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think it's crazy about the pop, and then you even look at the market caps of Burrow and Herbert. They're 1.2 million. Like they're way like everybody's collecting these guys. Everybody's got a piece of one of these guys, and so it's also just interesting to kind of see those different things kind of go through. But I would say it's really hard. With Herbert to buy, look, Kyler's much easier because I think there is a lot of sour with Kyler. I don't know very many people that don't like Herbert. I don't know very many people that think that they don't believe in him. Like I think Herbert's only negative is that division. That division's going to be really hard, but if he somehow wins it, that's going to be massive. Like so,
yeah.
Like there, that division, like that division would be so interesting. I can't wait to get the games going and see how that falls. But
yeah, overall, totally agree.
He's a hold for sure. I still think he's a hold. Like buying, I'm still a little skeptical. It's got to be kind of be the right price, I think, in terms of hitting somebody up in a show or like you did there. It's probably the way I'd go. It's just right now the eBay sales are not, they're not low enough really in my mind for a buy.
You know, and it's, again, just kind of like random evidence at a show 6 weeks ago in Coeur d'Alene, you're familiar with, you know, just being a dealer and handling the questions coming in about football cards. I mean, many times more people asking about Herbert than guys like Burrow and even Kyler. Like it's just, it feels like Herbert is just becoming a common name in the hobby for nearly every football collector.
Yeah. It would be interesting though. It just, if regionally, like, so you're in Coeur d'Alene, that's Northwest. That's Herbert's. Everybody knows.
That's true. That's Northwest. Very true.
Just what if you were in, you know, Louisiana or
Ohio,
Yeah, Ohio, like wherever, all those places, right? It should be interesting because it could still be the same. It's just like what is that perception, right? But I'm with you though. Most people, when I see looking to buy, like all over Facebook and the kind of stuff I see much more Herbert than I do Burrow. That's for sure. So
yeah, well, the guy I got asked about most was Davis Mills,
right?
Which blew my mind.
Big sleeper, definitely a big sleeper. All right, so here is the 10-6 group. I think there's a lot of long-term questions here in terms of, is now the time to commit this guy long-term or not? Like, I think Lamar, is it bail Lamar? Or is it hold for a Hall of Fame type finish? Dax, very similar. I think Dax got to really put together a year or two here to kind of get that value established. And then Russell Wilson, you know, signed a huge deal with the Broncos. He's going to be there for 5 more years. It's going to be playing almost till he's 40 as well, like Tom. And where can his value go? But we'll kind of run through these. Russell Wilson, 6. He's at 499. Dax, 355. Derrick Henry, 347. Deshaun Watson still hanging in here at 330. Lamar Jackson for 320 for all their PSA 10 base prisms of that product. In terms of market cap, Deshaun Watson has the massive market cap compared to the rest still, which is also very interesting. Who do you want to talk about on this list, Ty?
I know we're going to talk about Russell in a second. I'm very curious why you chose the prism over the chrome, because there's no doubt the chrome is the
signature.
Yeah. I guess is, again, probably keeping it consistent, right?
Yeah.
What you're doing. It's crazy to me that Dak Prescott still remains this high.
Yeah.
Obviously Deshaun Watson, we talked about him ad nauseum last, you know, January, like how the heck is this guy still being bought? And here we are, right? Still being bought.
Yeah.
I have no desire to buy Deshaun Watson, but apparently other people do. So,
right. Yeah, I mean, I think Dak is mostly market. He's still a Cowboy, and I think that still helps him. He hasn't been bad, but he hasn't been great. He hasn't been, you know, 2 years ago form. Like I said, this year's pretty big if we can take any steps forward, and he's got less weapons. Tyron Smith's already hurt. A Cowboys are going to be in trouble. As a person who follows him pretty closely, I think they're going to be in trouble offensively. I really think Zeke's, like, we've already seen him hit the wall. I think he's going to hit the floor because there's just, he's not going to have blocking either. So I think it could get pretty ugly. Deshaun Watson, we talked about the last time you and I did, we talked about the idea that his prices are rising and we still don't know his suspension. At that time, we still thought there was still mostly people thought he was just with the Browns for the whole year. And now we're talking he's out for 13 games. So, yeah. I mean, and it's still 330. I still think it's too high. And again, people have to factor in that's 13 more games. So now we're talking, he's going to be almost 2 years removed from playing a football game in the NFL. I mean, that's not something you can just do. This is a professional sport. You can't just jump out for that kind of time and come back and just be really talented. Even though Watson was, we can't expect it to be Watson before that because a lot can happen to the body in 2 years. Lamar, I think in my mind, his passing is still not progressed. He still relies on the same things, and those things he relies on is going to continue to diminish. So I still think he's a great player. Great football player, but I think his quarterback play is just going to slowly get worse. Because we saw when Huntley came in last year, their backup, he just lit up the passing stats, like way more than Lamar ever did. And so it's just like, you got to wonder when the Ravens are kind of like, okay, we need some more passing.
Yeah.
And I think that will happen. So I think we just kind of have to temper our expectations to Lamar as a long-term Herbert Burrow passing type quarterback.
Yeah. So. Yeah. You said it best. I mean, like for Dak Prescott, he hasn't been bad, but he hasn't been great. And I feel like if you're in the top 10, you should probably have great stats.
Yeah.
And I look at Deshaun Watson and Dak Prescott have not had great stats, obviously.
Yeah.
But Lamar is on the fringe and Derrick Henry has been the top running back, no doubt, right? The last couple of years. And that to me, I'd be okay with buying. In fact, I just bought a Derrick Henry from a guy locally.
Yeah.
Prism Silver. But yeah. I mean, I'm all in on Russell Wilson.
Right.
I think this is a steal at $500.
Right. Well, to get to him some more before we go that. Derrick Henry, I'm pretty bullish on as well. Just from the simple point, he's got a really low pop there. He still, to me, is, I would say, the most talented running back over the last 5 years. I know Jonathan Taylor, stats-wise, was last year. But I really liked what I'm hearing in terms of Henry's injury was kind of a fluke one. It wasn't a soft tissue. It wasn't like a issue they think is going to be reoccurring. It was just like a one-off. So that kind of makes me feel better about the whole reason we liked Henry is he had the body to withstand a long period of time. And so I'm really hoping this year is a nice clean year for him that we kind of get back to that. Sounds like this injury won't be a reoccurring one.
Yeah. And when you're putting money like we are into those guys there, like you're hoping you're thinking in terms of like, can they make the Hall of Fame? right? Or like long term, where are they going to sit? And Derrick Henry is no question, like maybe the only couple running backs that have the shot at it right now.
100%. Just show that Jacksonville highlight game, and then like he's in.
Exactly.
So a couple interesting cards. I did get a lot of the Topps Chrome stuff on this list, Ty.
Yeah.
In terms of the Russell Wilson stuff, so we got, you know, his 2012 Topps at the bottom there, and then we have the X Fractor for 750 camo. That's a regular Topps camo out of 399 for 354, which I thought was a very interesting price. Topps Chrome Pink, 1,000, and the Topps No Stands variation for 850. I actually wasn't aware of the No Stands, the Topps variation. I was of the Prism. That's a pretty cool card. I actually did a little more research on that. I like those kind of variations. They're kind of fun things to grab, and I think that's a pretty good price for that type of population when I look at that. But what are your kind of thoughts?
I'm not 100% sure, and maybe someone watching this can let me know, but I think the Topps No Stands, that comes out of the complete sets, right?
Oh, maybe that's what it is.
Because I think the 5-card pack out of the complete sets had the variations, and that was where that one came from. I'm not 100% sure.
Okay, gotcha. Still, I mean, maybe I'm going to have to research that pop some more, because I'm wondering if they have in the right spot, because sometimes they make one that's not. It's 24. Yeah. Maybe the complete set one's like 100 or something. I might have to go double check that then. But yeah, I mean, overall, I like Topps. This kind of excites me for the Fanatics stuff when I see these, because I really like the Topps parallels a lot, just because being a baseball collector as well. So seeing the, you know, the pink refractor is an option for a football rookie card is pretty cool. And the X Fractor is awesome as well. So I do like kind of seeing those.
For sure. And the base Topps, I mean, these are just, they're really hard to get centered. So it's not easy to get PSA 10s, even out of base sets, right? Or packs, of course, but like grabbing these now is probably a really safe bet, because I don't think there's going to be a lot more added to the pop.
And the Broncos are a strong market. Like they do have a really good following. There's Bronco. I mean, it seems like Bronco fans is kind of that tier two team that randomly some guy in Minnesota is a big Broncos fan, you know, it happens. It's largely with like John Elway and all that type of stuff, but kind of give me a little bit more of why are you all in on Russell Wilson in terms of your buy, as you said.
Again, I think it's just it just seems to me like this was a match made in heaven for Russell Wilson, a fan base that was just like that's a solid fan base that was just waiting for that guy to kind of be the face of the franchise. Yep. A long contract, right? Gets him basically through the end of his career. They're putting the pieces around him, like guys like Jerry Jeudy and stuff. I feel like are just going to explode into Russell Wilson. He's just a leader. He's just a true leader that the Broncos needed, and I think here in the Midwest, him and Patrick Mahomes are going to be fighting it out for like the guy, the quarterback in these central states. I think it just people could fall even more in love with Russell Wilson,
right?
Because he's in Denver, and I think that just bodes well for his prices.
Yeah, I mean, you and I actually talked about, I think, in our middle of the year Rick report about the idea that he probably wasn't coming back to Seattle. A lot of people didn't realize that, and that's come to fruition in terms of the Broncos. And a lot of the reason we talked about in that conversation was that Pete Carroll did not want to have the passing of numbers that Russell Wilson wanted. Like there was a stat that the Seattle with Russell Wilson, he only did more than 34 attempts 25% of the time. And Hackett's coming in, who was from Green Bay that had all that stuff with Rodgers, it's like 75%. So he's getting that passing volume uptick that he's always wanted.
Oh, yeah.
So like when we talk about Russell Wilson numbers, they are going to improve just because the volume is going to be there. And so that's really exciting. We got Sutton coming back. You got two really good running backs. Javonte Williams has come out, my breakout guy. I really like getting his stuff in 2020. One Prism, just I think he's a massive little sleeper buy. And then Melvin Gordon's been solid too. They just have all the nice pieces around to be successful too. So it'll be a fun year for him for sure.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, again, just kind of random evidence that supports this. You know, I thought for sure up here in the Pac Northwest, I'd be able to find a lot of Russells from people like just bitter that he got traded. Yeah. And I kid you not, man, I'd say more than half the conversations I had that for people that are holding Russell, they don't even want to let go of him because they love the guy so much still.
Yeah.
Like that's the type of guy he is. Even when he got traded off of your team, they're not willing to sell or trade those cards. They want to keep him because they like Russell Wilson so much.
Yeah.
That says a lot about the type of person he is. And really, I think probably what happened, like what Denver fans are in for And that's a good sign for the hobby.
Definitely. And he kind of gets to be that player you like no matter what, kind of like Soto. People like him, Nationals or the Padres. Yeah. It doesn't really matter to people, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. And our top five. So our top five, we had Stafford kind of sneaks in there. Josh Allen is one of the biggest risers. He's kind of the only ultra modern guy that had that kind of growth. Wow. We'll kind of get into that a little bit on the next slide. Aaron Rodgers dropped a bit. Mahomes has dropped significantly since his 7,800, and Tom Brady has come down quite a bit as well. Mostly market stuff. I think Mahomes is a little bit more kind of baked in there, but let's check. Let's talk about Mahomes. That's your guy. Obviously his silvers have come down to earth a little bit. But where is, in your mind, for what he's done in the league and his talent level, like where is the, if you said this is how much that card should be worth, what would you stand on? Is it 4,000 or are we way low?
I think we're low. I do. I look at not just Mahomes on what he's done, but I look at Mahomes in comparison to the rest of what's out there. Right. I think that's the only way you kind of can do things with certain players like this. It's like, okay, Mahomes had a kind of a rough year, but compare that to what else is available out there. And Mahomes, you can easily put him in the top three. You can make a case for him in the top five. No doubt. I think somewhere between five and six is probably where it settles, like midseason for his Prism Silver. I think it moves back up. But I mean, we've talked about it a lot. This is a big year for him, right? You lose a lot of pieces. You got a lot of young guys in there. If he can make it work and become, if he's still that top guy in the league, like watch out. This was a steal.
Yeah. Yeah. I only thing I struggle with Mahomes is it just seems like he's on that extra shelf and he's not even like, his pop's not super low or super high. Like, so the only part I struggle with, Ty, is just that Josh Allen right now is the number one fantasy quarterback. He doesn't have a Super Bowl, so we have to, Mahomes does. So we can definitely agree on that. But I mean, Josh Allen's 721 for his base, which is, you know, way, you know, one fifth of what Mahomes is, you know. And I think that that's where it gets a little bit weird for me is the gap that Mahomes has always been on. And so I don't know if that means that Rodgers should be higher or does that mean that Mahomes is where he should be? I struggle with that. I actually don't have the answer because I do think Mahomes is – I still think he's the most talented arm we've ever seen. I still can say that with confidence. But I just – I really wonder about him being on a whole separate tier, and that's my concern.
Yeah. No, I don't argue with Aaron Rodgers being – should be higher. I totally agree with that. I think Aaron Rodgers should be number two and it shouldn't even be a question. Right. Like that. Well, I think I said that last year too. Like Aaron Rodgers was a steal last year.
Yeah.
But I think that Mahomes transcends Kansas City in so many ways, unlike Josh Allen transcends Buffalo. We're like, yeah, in the fantasy world, people get Josh Allen, but they don't get him outside of like fantasy. I mean, I see so many Mahomes jerseys up here all the time. I'm at the, you know, the farmer's market. I see Mahomes jerseys in like the middle of Idaho.
Yeah.
It's like, that's the type of person he is. And I think that that really does affect his values because everybody everywhere is asking about him. It shows.
True.
He just has that personality and he's already done so much more than many of these guys already. So.
Right. Yeah. So just make sure the listeners on the pod can hear Tom Brady is one at 12,350. Mahomes is 4,000 at two. Aaron Rodgers is 2,700 at three. Josh Allen is 721. Matthew Stafford is 650 at five. So Stafford coming off a Super Bowl, a little worried about his elbow right now. I still think he's kind of just, I feel like he's just kind of a stable. He's kind of got that Super Bowl to go with that long, great passing stats career. So I think he's kind of in a respectable spot. I think Rodgers is low, but I'm also just worried. The division is pretty wide open. Like they still probably are the favorite, but with no Devontae, I'm really interested to see if he just has the same statistical type of year. That could mean a lot for him. Not to not have Adams. A lot of people thought that that was a big reason that he was so good having someone like him. But and then Mahomes, like what if the Chiefs get third in the AFC West? What's that do? Because that could happen. That division's so tough. So there's just a lot of variables at the top. You know, Mahomes being at 3.6 on market cap, that's a pretty respectable market cap, like all the way through. Is something else to consider as well. But let's kind of get into Josh Allen a bit more. Like I said, he's kind of taken that step to being up there with Mahomes. I think it was always a tier below for the last couple of years. I think now they are kind of that same talent level. I mean, Mahomes better arm talent, Josh Allen better running talent. What are your kind of thoughts on Josh Allen? Is he in a sell mode for you, or do you think he can still maybe take that next step and getting a Super Bowl with Buffalo?
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's in a sell mode at all. Like, he's probably the one guy where I'm most torn on. Like, is he the guy where you snag a few of these cards and hold? Like, I probably struggle most with Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. I don't think it helps at all that he's in Buffalo, for sure. But he was just so impressive last year, man. Yeah. He was just so impressive. Like, those last couple games, they said a lot about who Josh Allen could be. And if, like, that's how he comes out firing this year, like, watch out. Watch out. I mean, but he could also be like that Jeff George, right? Who's just a ridiculously talented quarterback who just never has the pieces around him to make it work.
Yeah.
And, you know, but it's like, I don't know. I'm really torn on Josh Allen. I really am. What's your take?
Yeah, I guess I've never really thought about the Buffalo comment. I always thought that they were a relatively strong fan base, but mostly in bad ways because they've lost a lot of Super Bowls. But
yeah, right.
But I kind of like the fit of Buffalo, maybe just because Josh Allen being Wyoming, cold, just that big, rough and tough guy that likes to work in the cold. So I thought I always kind of was going for him. I think AFC is so tough that I just think that guys like Josh Allen, they're going to have to get a Super Bowl to kind of get to that next level. I think he's always going to put up these stats. He's just kind of built to last. I feel like he's going to be around for a long time and doing this type of stuff. So, like, I just don't see his stats ever changing. But if he's just a long-term great stats guy but doesn't get that ring because it just doesn't follow his way, I think the ring is what's going to make him go a step further. If he gets a ring this year or next year and him and Mahomes both have one, they're going to have to get a little bit closer. They will. I think I feel a little bit better than about him than you in terms of being a Buffalo. I still think that's okay. But I'm not sure. I think he's just really talented. It's really hard to argue that part.
Yeah. You know, and this is where like sports card collecting and especially investing, which is kind of what we're gravitating towards here. It is not an exact science that comes down to stats. You know, right. It's just not, and you have to weigh, like, especially at this level where you're spending so much money on certain cards, you have to weigh in other factors like where are they playing? What type of person are they? How are they on social media? All those things really start to affect the player's values in a way that doesn't make sense, right? You can't like quantify why Patrick Mahomes is four times more expensive. Like, because there's so many other variables that you can't like just all of a sudden say, hey, Josh Allen does this too. It's just different, right? That's why Tom Brady will never be eclipsed because he has everything. The swagger, the skills, the teams, the rings, everything you could want. You know, he's got the ego on social media. It's everything.
Yeah. It's true.
So,
yeah, I'm with you. I got a couple of these prices I think are interesting. I thought, you know, his Prism Silverado, his is 5,500. Get one, try to say 15 there. I think that seems like kind of low because I still think he has to be above Herbert like right now in terms of what he's done. So how close those are, I think that's interesting.
What's the pop on Herbert's is 98, I think, right?
So yeah, it's like, I think I pulled 102, so they are double the pop. So that's a pretty good observation for sure.
Well, you're right. What would you drop $5,000 on right now? That or the Herbert?
Man, I feel better about the Bills winning their division and having a great playoff matchup that I would probably go Josh Allen. Cause I just like I said, the AFC West is going to be literally the Wild West. I have no idea. I'd probably take the Josh Allen if it was me.
Okay.
And I'm a Herbert fan, so that's tough to say. But yeah, and there's Optic Hollows for 1,700. I mean, a lot of his stuff is I like the 2018 stuff a bit though, because I feel like the pops were a little bit better controlled too. I think just a tad. As we saw, you said 2020, all those cards of Herbert, there's all of his pops are relatively higher compared to these chunks. That's also been attractive when it comes to guys in the 18 class. So do you have any Josh Allen?
You know, I do have like low end stuff, nothing like this.
Yeah.
I think if I had stuff like this, I would have already moved it.
Right. I think I just had like a green velocity might be the only thing I have.
That card.
Yeah. I got that with you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I just wanted to get everybody updated. So I didn't put the 2022 guys in here because one, they just haven't stabilized yet. So a lot of them had some really weird base prices. Some didn't have one because Prism's still relatively new since it was so late. But just some kind of numbers to throw at you. I kind of got some two notable cards for each guy that we're really kind of following. I didn't put Mills on here yet, but he maybe could talk about him in the future. But Trevor Lawrence, these are all PSA 10s. Orange Disco 620, green Pulsar 560, and an orange laser for 495. So you kind of see his non-numbered, I'd say, prism colors are right in that 500 to 600 range. It's just kind of a way to put that. Trey Lance, he did have a base come out at 275. That's pretty high. I think there's going to be a lot of those bases, so I'd be staying away at that type of price. His Red Ice, which is a beautiful car with the 49ers, 669, and Prism Silver for 1490. People are going all in Lance. People have a lot of expectations for him, and that does worry me because we got to see it, and we haven't. So anything on Lance or Lawrence to kind of break it up here, and I'll go kind of chunks of two.
Well, I like Lawrence a lot. I think Lawrence is priced really well right now. I just think there's so much upside for him. I'm skeptical on Lance. My sons and I, we pulled the downtown out of Optic for Lance.
Oh, nice.
I sent him to SGC and it came back a 10. And I put it up for $5,000 thinking I'm going to sell it for two. And I got an offer for $3,600. And I was like, I accept. I mean, you're talking like within $500 of a Herbert downtown, you know, right. 10. People are overreacting on Trey Lance right now.
I think so too. I still think the Rams are the team in that division. I don't see. Seattle's going to be a little bit rough, but I'm not sure. Like it was all just what they did to get him in the draft. A lot of it was just projectables for him. Because again, even his last season in college, he only played one game because of COVID. Yeah. So it's just like it's tough. I mean, he's definitely showing flashes. He can throw the ball on the field. But is it going to be a consistent move the chains type thrower? I'm not sure.
Yeah. It's a perfect example of like you will almost always lose when people price someone like an all-star or pro bowler,
right?
You know, or they price them like in the top five category before they've shown it. Because there's just so the risk to reward doesn't make any sort of economic sense.
No. Yeah. Cause you're buying high, like a 3,600 for a downtown. That's pretty much top. Like you're, yeah.
He has to win MVP for that to be worth more.
Yeah, I hit a Red Ice of Trey Lance, and I was going to get graded, but I'm like, I might just have to sell this because by the time it comes back, it might back to where it is now, raw. Like, you know, just making those type of decisions. The other next two, they're big two guys, Mac Jones, Justin Fields. Mac's got a Prism base that sold for 200, so you can kind of see he's, you know, under the Lance's base. Prism Red Ice for him was 555, also under Lance, and his Prism Silver went for 500. Definitely been some panic on Mac Jones, definitely some negative camp reports. I think that some people made back their mind, made and realize that McDaniels left, but that, you know, that's a big deal. Guy that runs the offensive side for New England. Not a lot of pieces around him, but he made do last year with that. But Mac Jones definitely worrying people. I think, you know, Dolphins did a lot. The Jets did a lot with the draft. And then you have obviously Josh Allen, the Bills in that division. The Patriots it's going to be tough for them, but they usually get the job done. How are you feeling about Mac?
Not good at all. Not good at all. I mean, even at those prices, I'd be like, not good. Right. I mean, when you're comparing, especially someone like Justin Fields, I'd be all over Justin Fields comparatively.
Yeah.
You know,
Fields and Lawrence have been my targets as of now with this group. Yeah. Fields Prism Orange Disco 325, Prism Base 155, and he had a Prism Red, White, and Blue go for 255. So you can see he's 325. He's half the price of Lawrence. I mean, you have a lot of upside there.
Agreed.
With a card like that. Fields only thing is, you know, that team's just not that great. And I wasn't huge on the head coaching hire in terms of offensive perspective. They hired a defensive guy. So those type of things play against, but I still think Fields has just the talent upside.
Yeah.
Over Mac. Like, I think he's basically, in my mind, he's Trey Lance with a proven thrower.
Yeah.
And so I think that's how I'd feel about when it comes to Fields.
There you go. I'm with you on there.
Zach Wilson, a lot of jokes about him lately. Prism Red Ice, Prism Base, Prism Green, Red Ice 228, 136 for the base, and Green for 182. And then him next to Jamar Chase, which is kind of a nice comparison to see that Chase is commanding value in this hobby. Orange laser for Chase, 242. Red ice for Chase, 285. And red, white, and blue for Chase, 160. So Ja'Marr Chase is kind of that, I'd say, between that lower level, like Mills and Wilson are kind of that bottom tier of quarterbacks. Yeah. I think he's up ahead of them, right under Fields when it comes to his values right now. I love Chase. I think he's going to be a long-term receiver. I think he's going to be a long-term number one receiver in the league. Him and Jefferson, I feel really good about long-term. Zach Wilson, we'll see what happens. He's already injured his knee. He's going to be out for some time. What are your kind of thoughts on those bottom two guys for the 22 class?
I mean, I'm staying far away from Zach Wilson. He doesn't even enter my mind. Right. When I get him, I think, okay, he's going immediately on the sell, and I'll put that money into something else. Yeah. Ja'Marr Chase is a tough one for me because I think, obviously he's got transcendent talent, no doubt about that. But like these prices, again, you think about what you could get for somebody like a Tyreek Hill or somebody mm-hmm. who is legitimately going to be like top 10, top 20. Is it worth it? Is it worth holding at those prices? I don't know. I don't know. Receivers are always questionable. You just never know with receivers, especially after only 1 year.
I would say for me, like Ja'Marr Chase is definitely not a buy. Buy. I do think that I could see you holding, but you could chance a sell and get back cheaper. The one thing that's really easy comparison to me is Justin Jefferson has done the same thing as Chase twice, and he's cheaper. Like, you know, he's a year ahead on this, like, production. And he's going cheaper than Chase in terms of his rookies. I think Jefferson was $75 for PSA 10 Prism for him. So, you know, like 75 and you see what these are doing. They're not close right now.
Yeah, that is crazy. I mean, receivers get forgotten so quickly. I mean, Cooper Kupp should be priced significantly higher than he is. Jefferson's great. Adam Thielen should be priced higher than he is. I mean, there's so many guys that are like, come on.
There is weird guys that are much better football players than hobby values for sure. Yeah. All right. A couple just my three values, and then you can jump in, disagree, or add some. But I don't like Hurts as a quarterback. I still think he's not a great passer, but he's proven he's an athlete and then he can make do, and he's got more weapons this year. He's at a really low price right now, so it's more just kind of that bottom dollar rise. I think they could win the East. They could. The Eagles could in terms of, you know, they added A.J. Brown. They got rid of Rager. They got Devonta Smith. He's got really good targets around him. So I do think Hurts is a very good option to see some growth at this point. Like I mentioned, Jefferson's 85, so I was a little bit off $10, but 85 for his PSA 10. I think he's a great buy. It'd be his third year in a row. If he can do match last two, would just be on a crazy trajectory for a career when it comes to receiver. And then Jonathan Taylor's number one running back in football. He still is going pretty cheap. Yeah. His higher end stuff does pretty well. I have a blue optic like POP4 color match on him, and it's not moving, but it's like those cards people are looking for. But what are your take on these three, or do you have any buys at the current prices?
I love Jonathan Taylor, and you're right though, like anything 2019, really anything 2020 and beyond, it's really only the higher stuff that's moving consistently or at good prices. The base stuff is just, it's hard to even like say, okay, $79 is a good buy with population of 605. Right. And if he has a good year, like that population will double in a second, right? Because there's so much of it out there.
Yeah.
But I struggle with Jalen Hurts a little bit because you're right. You have stuff sitting around and the base prices, you're like, it's not even worth listing some of this stuff because you're giving it away.
Right.
He's very much like Tua, right? It's like, but I would place Jalen Hurts above Tua right now. So yeah, I don't disagree. That's a high pop though. My gosh.
Yeah, and I think these are more just for reference on their bases. I think we're all at the point, and if not, Ty, and I can tell you that attacking base has little traction. Like your tractions will be in that, you know, I just pulled out Jalen Hurts Prism Black Silver. I'm gonna get graded just in case he has a great year, just stuff like that. Those are the plays. The directive here is just these are super cheap base cards. You can kind of just do the math and see where everything else is.
Sure.
Hurts, I still don't think he is like the passer he needs to be for long-term success, but I can see him putting a really good year together.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Perfect. I agree. Any to add, or are you good?
I throw Drew Lock on there. Wink, wink. Go ahead. No, you're good.
Get that Missouri in there. All right. So this is kind of like just off the cuff, big questions for the hobby as we close in. Again, thanks for joining me, Ty. I appreciate it. Always fun doing the rookie reports with you. We got, let's do the first one. Overall market cap of the top 40 players has dropped 36% since that time. how much farther do you think it can go? So obviously 36%, that is a lot, but at the same time, that was a long time. That's almost 8 months ago. I guess the question I'm trying to get at is, are we at the bottom yet, or do you think we still have a chunk to go?
Yeah. I mean, I think if you'd have taken values 3 months ago, it'd have probably been 50, 55, 60%. Right. And I think if you look at the charts, it's kind of like they're starting to swing back up a little bit. I am very surprised with how much interest I've had in football cards.
Right.
I've been telling a lot of people this, like, this is the first year where I'm like, okay, like, football's serious now. Like, football is arguably the number two sport in the hobby. Like, baseball, football, and now basketball is taking kind of the back seat. I think we see a lot of excitement in football cards. I think the show interest will be strong this year. It's this class makes it kind of tough, but, you know, like, Panini's kicked out a lot of releases till late into the year, early next year, probably because they realize those products aren't going to sell and they're going to sit on shelves.
Right.
They're hoping somebody like a Kenny Pickett explodes and they can market the crap out of them. But I'm completely bullish on, like, the market continuing to go upwards for football. I think it's a good spot for football to be in.
Yeah. And I agree with you. It's been a lot more activity football, a lot more in terms of my perception in the Facebook world. Breaks for football are definitely feeling faster than baseball. Even Bowman's been slowing a little bit for baseball, which usually always is hot. So just kind of seeing those type of comparisons of football getting a bit more traction for sure. I meant 2021 here, but the late release of 2021 really kind of clumped the really important products, which I think has made all those products a lot lower than we imagined them in terms of their prices of where they've fallen.
Yeah.
Like, what is your kind of feel of that, just in terms of how those products, I mean, Optic and Prism were super close together. They had to get them out super late in the offseason. Nobody's thinking about football. Do you think there's still a window to attack those guys? And I believe, like, Lawrence and who else do you like in that group to attack?
Yeah, I absolutely do. I mean, I think it lowered the value of those guys considerably. I mean, obviously when products come out, they're always overpriced, but, like, you give it a couple of weeks and you got Select, you got Optic, you got Prism. There's some good values in there for guys that are going to be like top of their divisions, you know, top 10 in multiple, you know, positions.
Mm-hmm.
I think it actually from a hobby perspective was a really good thing for us.
Right.
You know, like, this class is so bad this year. Like, it's just so bad, especially compared to last year. I'd rather be opening new products of last year's class anyway. So I'm cool.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, I think the attention on football wasn't there. So I think it was much slower than people imagine. There were some benefits to doing that. I think the market was in a very tough spot if it came out earlier, that made less money to get into breaks. So I think some people recovered a bit then. So I think that helped. I do hope that my only hope is I just hope they can realign the normal pattern. Like, so I'm hoping that this doesn't push the bad stuff back. So I don't want to see the Kenny Pickett stuff in next July. You know, I'm hoping that they can kind of get back on track and cycle these through a bit faster. Yeah. So we can get on track for the huge year, which will be 2023. As we saw, you know, Bryce Young and what's the other guy? There's a guy, they got two massive guys that are going to be real. CJ Stroud for Ohio State. They're going to be top. They're going to be chased hard. So I'll be excited to see how that kind of falls.
Yeah.
So we kind of already hit three just naturally, but how we're in Mac Jones, McDaniels leaving, all that stuff, disappointing camp. I think the one thing that we have to remember with Mac Jones types of players is we all know, we've seen the pictures. He's not athletic. He's not an athlete. He's a pure passer. So when you are a pure passer and you don't have the targets or you're not feeling the system, you're going to have to take some lumps because you can't escape. You can't Hurts and get 9 yards just on a broken play. You just can't do that. So the margin for error when it comes to Mac Jones is quite small.
Yeah, I hear you. I agree.
Yeah. So in terms of that, I think that all that stuff, the Patriots and the system makes you feel good, but definitely have some concern. The margin of error is getting tighter when it comes to Mac.
Yeah. Agreed. That makes perfect sense.
Number four, AFC West, most interesting, which QB will come out on top in the division. So, I mean, I know it's going to be a little bit biased for you, but what's your take on the AFC West? If you had to put money down on who wins it?
Yeah. I mean, last year I was very bullish on Herbert. I think I said it many, many times. Like, Herbert was my guy in the AFC West last year, even being a Mahomes, you know, Kansas City guy. But this year I feel pretty darn good about Mahomes.
Yeah,
I really do. Yeah. There's something about the way he's talking, the way he's playing that I think would be good.
Yeah. Yeah, I just kind of go back and forth. In terms of picking some in the division, I really want to pick the Chargers. I feel like it's going to be the Broncos just based on leadership. And I think the Broncos might have the scarier defense of the four from front to back. So I think that's – I would kind of gravitate towards some Russell Wilsons and getting that kind of game because I could see the Broncos taking it. So that would be my call.
So loaded, though.
I know. No matter who you say, you're going to be wrong by the other 80% for sure. Yeah. So Burrow or Herbert long-term, I think we've already kind of answered this. I think you're on the with Herbert. I think I'm probably with Herbert too. I just think that Burrow is going to have a little bit easier time getting the playoffs and getting to divisions than Herbert is over the next 5 years. And I think that's going to matter because if in that group in the AFC West, if Herbert does just win it once tie in the next 4 years, that's pretty good. With who's there. So when Burrow could win three or four, I would say Herbert long-term, but I still think Burrow's a great player.
Fair enough. Right. You have $1,000 to spend right now on football rookies. What do you do?
Football rookies, just open-ended?
Yeah. I mean, like your top 20, like what are you putting your $1,000 into?
I would put my $1,000 probably into Russell Wilson. Get like a X-Fractor, one of the nice Topps Chrome parallels is what I would go for.
Wow. Okay.
How about you?
It would be Kyler. I'd probably grab a Kyler Murray, Cooper Kupp, and a Russell. I try to squeeze as much as I could out of those three guys with $1,000.
All right. That's fair. All right. Well, thanks for being on, Ty. Got that done in under an hour. Got through the rookie report. Can't wait to check in. So we'll probably check in again in November for these. We'll come back in November, 2 or 3 months, and get these all updated and see where we fall. Thanks for checking us out. Don't forget to check us out at numbers_behind on Twitter and Bench Clear Media on YouTube. And Ty, how's the show going? How's Chasing Cardboard?
It's cooking.
Cooking.
Everything's cooking.
That's right. Don't forget to follow Chasing Cardboard on YouTube as well for Ty's awesome show that everybody in the hobby loves.
Everybody.
That's right.